This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Audible.com has over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To start your trial today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast is changing the game one show at a time. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined this week by Big Nasty Africano and No Marcus Vanderberg. What is going on? What is going on here? So for those of you that don't know, Brother Marcus is confined to the desk, working out some things over there for the good people of Yahoo, and
he's in parts unknown, right?
Yeah, he's in parts unknown, probably doing a big exclusive interview with the Ultimate Warrior, getting ready for that big feud with CM Punk that we talked about last week. So it'll just be the two-man power trip this week, me and Brother Alfred holding things down. But before we get started, how was your week, brother?
It was a very good week. It was a very low-key weekend compared to some of the weekends I've had. Vegas one weekend, SummerSlam the other, so I got to kind of relax. But I was still working because I had a couple of fantasy football drafts. And I'm very happy with my teams, and I'll be even happier after our draft, and I'm able to dominate you guys. So it's looking good for Alfred Conaway, let me tell you.
Yes, and speaking of the fantasy football world, we will be holding our draft later on this week, probably close to the weekend. By the time you're listening to this, the Briscoe Sanders Football League, powered by the Kings of Sport, will be locked down, will be completed in terms of our registration process. So shout out to everybody that requested to join the league and take a shot at Big Nasty. So it should be a fun league. I believe we've got 12 teams competing this year, and it should be very interesting.
It will be interesting, but, you know, just, again, keep in mind, this is a disclaimer. I don't want anybody to get upset. This is a race for second place. So if you're okay with the bronze or the silver medal, this league is for you, because there's going to be a winner, and you're listening to him.
There's already been some shots fired by some of our listeners. I know Brother Jamie is taking up the challenge, and one of our listeners from Germany, I don't have his name right now, but he said he's only been watching football for about 3 months now, so but he's ready to take the challenge and take Big Nasty down.
I hope he realizes you cannot draft Lionel Messi in our league. We're going to need to remind him of that. Lionel Messi is not able to be drafted. This is American football.
Yes, yes. And speaking of American football, that's what we're going to talk about here in segment one in the A block. The NFL preseason rolls on, and a lot of news coming out of week 3 of the preseason. But before we get to that, Brother Alfred, I do have a question. I know you're a smart brother. You are a learned man, and you speak so well.
So well-spoken.
Yes, you're so well-spoken. So if you can help me out with this question, how do you spell futility?
Okay, let me take a stab at this. It's F-U-T-I-L-I-T-Y.
That's close. That's close. I was looking for, you know, the way you spell futility, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh, it was a couple letters off.
Just a few. Missed it by that much.
Damn it.
One of the big stories coming out of the week 3 of the NFL preseason, the kind of debacle going on at the Jets camp. And not only is the quarterback situation crazy, people are already calling for Rex Ryan's job before the season has even begun. Mark Sanchez getting banged up. Geno Smith looking terrible. I mean, just kind of, what were your thoughts about the Jets as they faced the Giants in, what was that, the MetLife Snoopy Bowl?
That's a good name for it. Get that trademark.
Yeah, Rex Ryan won the Snoopy Bowl, but I don't think his days as head coach of the Jets are going to be that long lived after this season.
I feel like Murphy's Law unfolded that night for the New York Jets. Anything that could have gone wrong for them did. This quarterback competition, if you want to call it that, was more like quarterback collusion. It was fixed so that Geno Smith could start. As horrible as he was in camp, as horrible as he was in preseason games, they said, oh, he's about one half of turnover-free football from becoming the starting quarterback. So he essentially could have handed the ball off every down and you know, checked out of a pass is what I would have done if I'm Geno Smith, and they would have given him the job. But he couldn't have played any worse. Three interceptions, ran out of the back of the end zone like Orlovsky did, and just couldn't have looked any worse as a starting quarterback. Here's the worst news. They're probably still going to be stuck with him because their other quarterback, who you didn't think it could get any worse for him, Mark Sanchez, got hurt. Now, I want to say this about Rex Ryan and how people are coming down on him from starting Mark Sanchez in the fourth quarter. Nobody would have batted an eye at that if Mark Sanchez stays healthy. But now it becomes an issue. Obviously, in hindsight, it's a terrible idea to do what he did, but now it becomes an issue. So I just wanted to kind of come to Rex Ryan's defense because I know he's feeling bad on this morning, but you know, Mark Sanchez was not bound to get hurt.
I mean, this is a no-win situation if you're Rex Ryan, if you're the Jets. I kind of feel like, you know, Rex didn't want Geno, you know. Rex did not want to go to draft the quarterback. I think he was fine going with Sanchez. They're kind of married to each other at this point. But Rex is a defensive genius offensively. I really haven't been impressed by Rex. And so, you know, to kind of expect either Sanchez or Geno Smith to excel with a defensive-minded head coach with not a lot of weapons around them offensively, and a line that resembles Swiss cheese, it's going to be a long season.
It absolutely will. And you talk about that line, it's not only the fourth string line, it's the first string line is just as bad as anybody else. I mean, there's guys probably on the second string who are going to have to be elevated to play up in that first string. And as far as the Jets offense goes, what their fatal flaw was is they did not develop very many offensive talents. You know, they focused on the defense, and when it came time to develop a wide receiver, they went to free agency, they rolled the dice on Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes. Both of those are coming back to haunt them. And really, I'm not being a USC homer. I don't think this is all Mark Sanchez's fault. His first 2 years in the league, nobody can say that they went back-to-back years going on the road and beating Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in the playoffs. Nobody in NFL history can say that, probably ever will be able to say that. And that's exactly what, Joe Flacco might have done that. Yes, he did. But at the time he did it, nobody could say that. But, you know, he just was compromised, I think, by the situation.
Yeah, and I think that this is a kind of the ironic thing about this whole thing is we all know what's going on with Tim Tebow over there in New England where, you know, he might be left off of the roster. It's kind of like the Jets are a team, at least offensively, that is kind of made for Tim Tebow. You know, you got a solid defense, and then offensively, you've got a bunch of has-beens and never-wears, and you just need somebody to kind of go out there and be that nucleus for everybody to kind of work around. And to me, I think Tim Tebow would have been a better choice than either Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez, even though they're better passers than Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and Tebow never got a chance. It just showed really one of the coaching errors of Rex Ryan and how disorganized that institution is that they go out and they get Tim Tebow. A lot of people and conspiracy theorists think that was just to take away the shine and take away the spotlight from the Giants, who once again outclassed the Jets by winning a Super Bowl. And when they had him on the team, again, like you said, it was a team very limited. Remind me of the Denver Broncos that Tim Tebow led to the playoffs. Very limited offensively. They did have an offensive line that could pave the way to run the football, and they had very limited receivers. A guy like Tim Tebow, a playmaker, could have at least taken nothing and made it into something, but they never went that route.
Yeah, and so I don't agree with the people that are calling for Rex's job right now before the season, but I definitely think that if the Jets don't go at least 8-8, 9-7, somewhere around there, Rex is gone.
That's not happening. I can't see the Jets winning more than four games. And I was poor Rex. I'm thinking when I'm watching that press conference, I'm thinking John L. Smith, you know, the guy, Michigan State coach who slapped himself in the face and walked off the podium. It's just one of those uncomfortable moments to where he just snapped. He snapped. A lot of people want to say meltdown. Of course, the media is coming down on him because he went after one of their brethren. But it was really not his finest hour.
And the only thing maybe that can play into Rex's favor is the AFC East is kind of a down division this year. And one of those teams in that division are the Buffalo Bills. And if you thought the Jets had quarterback problems, The Bills have 99 problems, and the man behind center is all of them.
Jeff Toole for the win. We could have the story of the year in the NFL if Jeff Toole is able to have a Kurt Warner-esque type game, maybe against the Patriots. What do you think, Brother Nate?
Oh, I think this is it's going to be brutal. It's going to be, E.J. Manuel, he's gone for a little while. Kevin Cobb, another concussion. They're saying this might be the end of his career, 3 concussions in, I believe, 4 years.
Yeah.
And then, they signed Matt Leinart, another one of your USC brethren off the street. when you're going to Matt Leinart in 2013 as a possible solution behind center, you got problems.
Shout out to the Bills. I wonder what house party they found him in to where they were able to sign Matt Leinart.
He was probably just hanging out. somewhere up there at the University of Buffalo, just invading frat parties in the first weekend of college.
Of course. I mean, that's where his legend would actually mean something these days.
You see lining up there doing keg stands. Like, come on, man. come on, brother. Get it together. But yeah, so. Uh-oh. What's going on, y'all? It's your man, Nate. And apparently this is where segment one is going to end off this week. I know I made mention on Twitter and on Facebook that we had some technical difficulties, and the second half of the A block is a casualty of those technical difficulties. It's lost to the ether, never to be heard again. So sorry about that. Technology is a wonderful thing, but it can be fickle sometimes. So we're going to end things off right here for segment one. But we always like to give the people what they want, give the people what they need. So we're not just going to end things off so abruptly without giving you a good resolution. So taking us out with the hit of the summer, the Houston Rockets point guard and recent birthday boy, James Harden, performing his smash hit, Harden Soul. Stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after the break.
This is James Harden. This song's for you, girl. I know you want to see this chest. I wear my shirt open so you see my chest. I know that you want me, cause I look the best. Let's go out for seafood, we'll have a shrimp fest. Girl, I noticed you noticing me, so I came over so you could see me. I worked so hard. That's what I'm talking about. It's all about me, girl. I know that you want me, cause I look the best. I wear my shirt open so you see my chest. I know that you want me, cause I look the best. I keep my stock open so you can invest. Take my shirt off, take my shirt off, take my shirt off, girl. Take my shirt off, take
my shirt off, girl. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Girl. Oh, man. Hey, 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 hey.
I have the Florida Gators winning it all. I don't want to finish this thing a dead last.
Don't send this man a t-shirt, America. The man asking for a t-shirt 5 minutes ago, and it's turning his back on the Eagles. Hey, come on.
They may argue. They may disagree. They may not always see eye to eye. But through it all, they're still the kings of sport. Join the discussion at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Hey.
And now, it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
And we are back on the Kings of Sport, and you know what time it is. Each and every week, we bring you the hottest news and information from the world of professional wrestling in a little segment we like to call the Ringside Wrap. And there's always there's never a shortage of stories and a shortage of anything to talk about in the world of professional wrestling, especially when the game opens its mouth. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had a great candid interview from Triple H that Marcus conducted at the SummerSlam. And he's at it again with a, I guess once he talked to Marcus, he just couldn't shut up. He's like, once I talk to Vanderberg, I got to get this off my chest, kid.
These light-skinned brothers have me in a talkative mood.
So, he had, I guess, some interesting things to say to Grantland and Alfred. For the people out there that have not heard some of the highlights and some of the big quotes that were gathered from this interview, could you let the people know what Brother Helmsley had to say?
Yeah, Grantland conducted a very, very good interview, very in-depth, with Triple H. It was Bill Simmons and the Masked Man, who's a very good writer for Grantland, follows me on Twitter. I follow him. And they basically pulled the curtain back and did a kickback interview of Triple H discussing his rise to power in the WWE, what really goes on in a day-to-day capacity, what exactly his job is, which is really a jack of all trades when it comes to talent management, to booking their schedules and giving him suggestions creatively. And, you know, setting the table for future stars. So a lot of noteworthy things came out of this. One of the noteworthy things I thought was that he kind of went after Mick Foley. I know he wasn't trying to diss him or anything like that. Just a difference in opinion. They were talking about the Attitude Era and how it's different from then than it is now, and why the Attitude Era worked and why it couldn't work today. And Triple H used Mick Foley multiple times as an example as to his matches meant nothing, to where he looked back at his Japan matches when he found out he was going to work with Foley, and he saw, what can I get from these matches that I could use with Foley? And he basically said nothing, because all they're doing is blowing stuff up and they're setting each other's spots up and they're not really telling a story. And so it really was interesting to see his perspective of the WWE. And just when I was reading that, all I could think was that it's like baby Vince McMahon, like the next second coming. He was quoting Vince the entire article. And, I really do think the company is in good hands.
The funniest thing to me was just kind of the real quote-unquote moments that I guess Triple H talked about, how the slight differences between himself and Vince McMahon. Like, Vince is always in wrestling mode, and he's like, you know, I'll be barbecuing with the kids. And we got some. I got some burgers on the grill, and Vince wants to talk wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that's just kind of the weirdest thing ever. Like, I can't imagine a McMahon family barbecue. And they got, you know, Linda's just sitting catatonically in the corner, and Vince is walking around like a maniac, and Hunter's grilling, and Shane's got to sit at the table with the kids.
You think Shane goes to those? I don't know. There's no friction, I don't think, with the McMahon family with Shane, because he left. But do you think he's still invited occasionally to go to those barbecues?
I'm sure they give him a courtesy invite, but Vince has already got his son now. You're the son I've always wanted, Paul.
How does it sound, Paul McMahon?
So, yeah, I think it's very interesting. There's been a lot of positive things with the Performance Center in terms of the Total Divas show kind of expanding the brand. I think that the company is in good shape, even though, you know, some of the storylines might not be the best. And Triple H, to me, I think you're going to see a lot of things change. You know, we could talk about how he's kind of in that Vince mold. I think there are some key differences between the two men, and once Triple H fully takes over, you know, hopefully it's not for a long time, because you don't want to wish death on anybody, but, you know, Vince is getting up there, and once the reins of control are finally passed to Hunter and Stephanie, I think you'll see a much more innovative product, maybe a product that takes a little bit more risks with the talent as well as with the booking.
But you could see a more monotonous product, which is my fear long-term for WWE. All throughout WWE's history, when WWE came into power, they extinguished the territories. But then again, they got guys like Dusty Rhodes who came in and Ric Flair for a shot, and even Hulk Hogan who went through Memphis and the AWA. And they had a bunch of people from different territories who had already honed their craft. That was even evident in the Attitude Era with guys like Chris Jericho, guys who came from WCW. And then now, even in this age to where we're getting the indie guys like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Antonio Cesaro. Again, guys capable of having good matches based on what they learned from overseas and what they were able to perfect and fail and do trial and error. Now WWE is building, like you said, this performance center that Triple H's vision and the McMahon vision built going forward is that everything goes through that performance center to where everybody who learns how to wrestle is born and bred in the WWE, learns to do it one way and goes through that process. And that scares me because then everybody's really going to be doing the same thing. And let's say somebody debuts and they fall on their face. Instead of doing that at a high school gym in front of 200 people and learning what you did wrong, you could do that in a national TV audience and ruin your career.
Yeah, you know, those are valid concerns. You know, we could see wave after wave of John Cena 2.0s and 3.0s.
Oh, God. Hey, I love John Cena, but not 2 and 3.0s.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is a fair concern. My hope would be that, you know, they find a balance between, you know, I do like that they're looking to guys that kind of wash out of the NFL or other sports and kind of – sending them overtures. I do like that, you know, if you watch the NXT programming, I think you can make the argument that NXT is probably the best show in the WWE quote-unquote universe.
Yes, it's a very good show with a lot of people hungry. It's that effect where we get the Money in the Bank All-Stars match and then the Money in the Bank All-Silverhands match. And the All-Silverhands do such a better job because they're hungrier, they're willing to take more risks, they've got something to prove and a chip on their shoulder, and that's what I see in NXT. Guys are hungry.
Yeah, so we'll see. Again, it's a fascinating article and a fascinating interview with Triple H. So, again, shout out to Grantland. Go check that out if you haven't done so. But one gentleman that might be hungry, one gentleman that did not come up through the WWE ranks, one gentleman there's been some rumors and some smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire, about having conversations with the WWE is a man named Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg is one of those exceptions to the rules as guys who WWE would be interested in bringing in who aren't like up-and-comers. And we've been through the era of The Rock, this little mini era that we had, where The Rock has been at the past three WrestleManias. And as welcome as he would be at WrestleMania 30, I think you got to start looking at other wells in terms of a part-time talent who can really make a difference. And Goldberg's one of those guys. It's been a while since we've seen Goldberg. He still looks the same as he did in 1997, 98 when he was in his prime. And a Goldberg-Ryback match, given Ryback's treatment and the things they said about each other in real life, I think would be very intriguing. It could revitalize Ryback's career.
It could, but do you really see Bill Goldberg getting back in the ring?
The fact that he's talking about it now, and it's, I know he's saying no, I don't know where these rumors came from, but it really does seem like he's trying to make the most of it, to where he's saying, well, I got this 7-year-old son who wants to see me wrestle, and I want to go out the right way, and I, you know, want to at least get the chance to wrestle in front of him so he can remember, and this, that, and the other. It sounds like he's very open to a return, and all WWE would have to do is bury a little grudge and pick up the phone, which Triple H has never been above.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen that with Vince talking with Warrior, with them bringing Bruno into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Goldberg on this year's WWE game?
Yes. He's going to be on 2K14, so he's working with them in that capacity through 2K14. And they're also going to have a Goldberg DVD set come out. So, I mean, little hint maybe? Who knows? The doors have obviously been open, so all they need to do is maybe iron out some details.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that Goldberg-Ryback feud, you know, it would be great in some ways and terrible in other ways, namely match quality. But, yeah, definitely, if you want to get Ryback over, you know, and I know there's some people on the Internet that like Ryback and think he's more talented than Goldberg, and a lot of them are disgruntled Canadians who are mad that Goldberg inadvertently ended Bret Hart's career. But, you know, there's no comparison between these two guys. not in terms of the physical charisma, not in terms of athletic ability, not in terms of their peak hotness in terms of being over. Like, you can say all you want about Goldberg not being a ring technician, but you can't take away that this guy was a top star during one of the hottest periods that the business has ever seen.
At the time that he beat Hulk Hogan, maybe it was for a week, maybe it was even for an overnight success type deal, he was bigger than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I remember reading the articles. I remember all the reaction, even the 900 hotlines that were still alive. This guy was bigger than Stone Cold Steve Austin for a brief stretch of time. So, yeah, Goldberg, one of the biggest stars in wrestling history, and that's going to be his legacy, which is a very good legacy to have.
And even when he came to the WWE, even though it ended on a bad note, like that night when he came in against The Rock, in Seattle, I believe it was, that place went nuts, you know, to see Goldberg come in the ring.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just too bad it couldn't. And that's what you get. It's the night after WrestleMania. There's a big hotshot return or debut or some big angle that happens, and it never really lives up to it as it goes on. And that was one of them, unfortunately. But, yeah, I remember that huge pop when Goldberg came out, and all he said was, "Well, Rock, you're next!" And then he goes and spears him. So that was very well done.
Yeah, that isn't there a horror movie coming out pretty soon called You're Next?
Not that I know of.
I thought I saw – it might be. I thought I saw some commercials with a horror movie like You're Next. But, I was like, that'd be great if Goldberg ended up being the killer in that movie.
Makes a cameo. Yeah, that's a movie where there's a lamb. They're using the Bray Wyatt masks in that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen those previews.
Yeah, it'll be like You're Next, and at the end of the movie, Goldberg just comes out and spears somebody.
We've always said the Kings of Sport was the best podcast around, but now the reviews are in and the people have spoken. Here's what you had to say about the show. This is a sports podcast for the people, by the people. There are no old guys talking about the good old days. These are brothers that are connected to what's going on now. They bring you the latest information as well as comparing current events to historical ones. If there is one sports podcast that you need to listen to, make it this one. This is a very good show with three brilliant co-hosts who keep it real. Younger guys with great minds for sports. They have differing opinions and back it up with facts and figures. Always entertaining and an enjoyable listen. I am down with the Kings. The Kings of Sport is the best thing going on the internet. These guys rock. Give them a listen. You won't be disappointed. So there you have it. But you don't have to take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Listen to the Kings of Sport and make up your own mind. We guarantee we're the best show around.
What's up, guys? This is Corey Erdman from Fight Network, The Ring, and Wealth TV, and I'm sitting on the throne with the Kings.
I'm Norm Souza from Never Ever Do This at Home, and you're listening to the Kings of Sports podcast. You have got to love it.
And we are back on the Kings of Sport. It is time to close up shop for this week's edition. But you know we got to go out the way we do each and every week. And that is with the one and only, often imitated but never duplicated, segment four. And we got some stuff to get into today, Brother Howard. But before we do, I want to take care of some business. And send a shout out to the good people at Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks, and they have over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre. We're talking about thrillers, business books, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and many, many more. Audible titles play on your iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for listening anytime and anywhere. And for you guys, the listeners of the King Sport Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You know, they got some great books like The Hobbit, Gone Girl, Bad Luck and Trouble, The War for Late Night, and of course, Last Season by Phil Jackson. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport to get your free audiobook today. Audible.com is down with the Kings. You're down with the Kings. So get down with audible.com. So, yeah, we said, there's a lot to talk about this week in segment four, and, the wretchedness never sleeps, Alfred. So, let's take Odom and Tyson kind of together, because they're very similar stories going on with Lamar Odom and Mike Tyson, both kind of sad stories. But for those people out there that don't know what went down with these guys recently, Alfred, let them know, man.
Well, we can start with Lamar Odom, who abruptly disappeared for a three-day stretch, according to TMZ reports. Now, his rep has come out and since denied those rumors, said that Lamar Odom is fine, but would not disclose where he is. And it has become known that Lamar Odom is now struggling with crack cocaine, which is an addiction that he has had previously. And it has led to his separation with Khloe Kardashian. So he is currently separated from Khloe. They tried an intervention with Lamar Odom that, like most of them, did not go successfully, led to him veering off, and he's been gone for the past couple of days. So hopefully he's able to come through this with rehab and successfully and healthy, but this sounds like bad news right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad situation, and I hope everything works out for Lamar, but there's a lot of weird things in this story. I mean, first of all, I understand drugs affect everybody, but if you're an NBA player and you're living in 2013, what are you doing smoking crack?
Yeah.
I can understand if this was 84, 85, 88, maybe even 90. Come on now. Like, for real, what are we doing here, Lamar Odom? Like, you know, this is a guy that everybody said, you know, he's a good guy, but also very complex kind of guy, very sensitive person. And, you know, it's just a bad look. You know, he disappeared, like you mentioned, for 3 days. First, I thought he might have been hanging out with our good friend Hollywood Simpson.
Really?
Like, Lamar was here the whole time, boo. but it's like this, like, for Mike Tyson, like, we're going to talk about Mike Tyson here in a second. I can understand Mike Tyson, you know, battling these type of demons. But for somebody like Lamar Odom, you know, somebody that, you know, on the outside looking in kind of seems fairly well adjusted and has a good life. He's married to a rich woman. He's pretty rich himself, you know. Crack cocaine.
Let's look inside of this. He's married to a rich woman, but not just any rich woman. It's not like he's married to Gloria Vanderbilt. This is a Kardashian. These are young socialites.
Hold on,
you know?
Did you just pull out Gloria Vanderbilt?
Dude. I did, because she's well-to-do, kind of high society. That's old money. This new money, you got these young girls like the Paris Hiltons and Kim Kardashian, who really, they're famous for the sake of being famous, so they have to keep going to these parties in order to keep in the public eye. What do you think about these parties? What do you think they're doing, playing checkers? No, they're smoking crack. And that's why Lamar Odom is probably back on the pipe, is because he was hanging around with Khloe Kardashian, who I initially thought was a good example for him.
First of all, let's get back this Gloria Vanderbilt thing. You pulled out an old reference.
Exactly.
The Gloria Vanderbilt mom jeans. But second of all, you know, I see your point, you know, the kind of circles that he runs in. But even still, if you're going to develop an addiction for running with those circles, shouldn't it be powder cocaine? I mean, there's not a lot of difference between, you know, either way you're a drug addict, but something about the crack, man, it's like, even if you said Lamar Odom had an addiction to cocaine and he was sniffing, I'd be like, okay, that's messed up, but I can see it with the people he rolled with. Yeah. I can't see, you know, the people that he rolls with hopping out back and hitting the pipe.
Yeah, that's a street. It's not the party drug anymore when you're doing crack cocaine. That's a you need rehab and an intervention type of drug. Not to encourage cocaine use. See, that's a pretty heavy drug.
Yeah. The Kings of Sport does not.
The Kings of Sport does not condone
cocaine use of any kind. This is what happens when Marcus isn't here to rein us in.
As we start talking about drug use, now all of our listeners are gonna be high. Like, oh man, when's that next episode coming up?
I need a new episode, baby. Be like that cheeseburger scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, y'all know what cheeseburger scene I'm talking about. But to me, this is not gonna end well. Like, is Odom, is he still with the Clippers?
No, he's a free agent now.
So yes, yeah, so I don't see him getting any interest in this offseason. Just because it's a lot of, not only, you know, baggage with these drug stories that have come up and you know, kind of the complex dude that he is, but you know, he's getting up there in age. And is he worth the money that you have to pay to sign Lamar Odom to your squad?
No, and he hasn't been the traditional Lamar Odom of the Lakers recent dynasty that he was. He in Dallas, he was a mess. And it got to the point where Mark Cuban had to pretty much beg and try to will him to play like he did when they acquired him, and he couldn't. And in L.A., the L.A. Clippers, he was a shell of himself. So he's always been kind of an up-and-down talent to where when he's good, he's really on, and when he's bad, he's terrible. And he's been in this terrible phase for longer than that would suggest that he's just in a phase.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely not a good look for Brother Odom. So hopefully he can get through this. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is the love of a good woman, even if that woman is a Kardashian. So let's go from one kind of sad story to another. And this is a sad story, but at the same time, it's kind of I respect this brother for just kind of coming out there and putting this stuff on the table. And that's one, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, Mike, if you don't know, Mike has kind of made the transition into promoting fights now. And he had a press conference, I guess, the other day promoting one of the fights. And he just kind of came out and admitted that he was having problems with alcohol and substance abuse. And, you know, he's like, I'm not, and granted, it's not funny, but everything is funny when you say it in Mike Tyson voice. I mean, it just is. And, you know, so Mike is up there. He's like, I've been lying to all of you. I've been living the lie. I have problems. I've been struggling with drugs and alcohol. And I this is the first day I've been sober in 6 years. This is the truth. And so, yeah, it was. And the reporters, you know, it's kind of crazy, this relationship that the press has with Mike Tyson. Like, most people that would come out and say that, they would get, you know, these hard questions. But a lot of the reporters in the room, you know, kind of stood up and clapped. And they were like, you know, we appreciate you being honest and being real with it. So what did you think of the whole situation, Alfred?
It's just very disappointing for Mike Tyson, because when you look at him, it seems like you could make the case that he's a success story at this point in his life, to where he was on the verge of going off the rails. There was a point in time where he was the baddest man on the planet, but he was the most dangerous man on the planet, bar none. And now to see that he's lost all that weight, he's becoming a boxing promoter, he has his own one-man show, and he had a show, I think I was on this Discovery Channel or National Geographic, where he was doing the pigeon thing, and it's like, wow, this guy's in such a peaceful place. But all the while, those demons are still, looks like they're as bad as ever, because he said he was on the verge of dying. So hopefully he's able to make it through this stretch, but again, I'm not going to know what to believe, because for all this time, I thought he was fine. And he just comes out with this. Now, one of the more sad parts of that press conference is he says, like, I think it was on Friday Night Fights, where he said, you know, I'm 6 days sober. And it's like, oh, 6 days, Mike? Like, how long have you been using, and what's going on here, man?
Yeah, it's you know, Mike is getting up there, even though he's still in pretty good shape. You know, he's 47 years old. You know, he's, like you mentioned, he's had money problems, had relationship problems. Obviously now, you know, we know that he's had substance abuse issues, been incarcerated before, and it's a weird thing with Mike Tyson because he should, for all intents and purposes, he should be the bad guy. He should be the villain. But I think just kind of the sensitive nature of who Mike Tyson is, or at least who, you know, he shows us that he is, there's a part of you that kind of roots for Mike Tyson to get things right and end up, you know, having a happy ending to his life.
Absolutely, especially the warm-hearted turnaround that he's made. It's very George Foreman-esque. Now, he does have that tattoo on his face to remind you that he's a crazy person. But other than that, you know, George Foreman used to be this big, lumbering, scary, monotonous giant. And in the second half of his boxing career, he's bald, chubby, kind of fun-loving type guy that we see on the Meineke Car Care and George Foreman grill commercials. And Mike Tyson made a very similar change in his life to where he went from being this scary monster to more of a warm-hearted individual that, you know, the appearance on the Hangover movie certainly helped that. And so hopefully, you know, he is somebody that we can root for.
Yeah, you know, so again, shout out to Mike Tyson. And, you know, hopefully he has a happy ending. So, you know, two sad stories, kind of similar with Lamar Odom and Mike Tyson. Hopefully things work out for both of them. But now going to be very interesting because the big talk on Facebook and Twitter over the past 24 hours has been about the Video Music Awards that aired on MTV. I'm like, how you going to have a music video show when you don't even show music videos anymore? But that's beside the point. They had the VMAs last night, and the big talk coming out of the show was a performance by Miley Cyrus.
Twerk, Miley, I like twerk.
I haven't seen this yet. So we decided, instead of Alfred telling me what went down with Miley Cyrus, it'd probably be best and authentic to get my genuine reaction in real time. Watching Miley Cyrus.
Gotta watch it. Watch it the whole time. It takes a little bit for it to heat up to where people, to the point where
What should I be looking for?
You should be looking for the part where Robin Thicke comes out because
I'm literally talking about like on Google. What should I be?
Oh, Google Miley Ray Cyrus 2013 VMAs. They should have it on YouTube. They also have it on MTV.com. It's recently as last night, it was front page news, obviously.
All right, let me go here. So it's in the... okay, Miley Cyrus, VMAs, 2013 full performance.
Got it.
All right, let's check this out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be my live reaction. And like Alfred said, the clip here shows it's like about a six-minute clip, so I don't know at what point in the clip things go haywire and the internet explodes, but we'll see. So
yeah, we can commentate as it goes along. It's about 3 minutes in, I believe, to where it gets a little crazy and ratchet. But I will say this, you know, Miley Ray Cyrus, she was a Hannah Montana character, which was country. She was on the Disney path to success, which is a slow cultivating path, kind of like Justin Timberlake.
My first question is what is she doing coming out of this big teddy bear?
That's like, I don't know, there's kind of a fetish feel to this thing. And I think that might be a little bit of it. She kept sticking her tongue out, and she had that shirt and that onesie that had the bear with his little tongue out.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a fetish.
This
kind
is
of
already weird.
Interesting thing. I think it's supposed to make you feel like you're high while you're watching it, because she does shout out Molly in the song.
Maybe. I was going to say maybe she's performing for Lamar Odom, but that's too soon.
Oh, no. Oh, you already said it.
this is where we need Marcus to rein in the show. I'm already disturbed by this video.
Do you feel like a pedophile for watching this yet? Because I still remember the Hannah Montana days. Even then, I was too old for her.
I do like this song, though, that We Can't Stop or whatever it's called.
It's a pretty catchy song, and it's doing very well on iTunes, and it's really revitalized her career, because she was going down the tubes after her second album, which was still that Miley Ray Cyrus type, Taylor Swift type character, you know, the pop princess. But then she released that twerking video that got 6 million hits, and she says, you know, this black culture thing isn't so bad. She went from country Hannah Montana to twerking queen Miley Ray Cyrus, and it's the best career decision she's made to this point.
I'm gonna need her to eat a sandwich or two, though. whoa, what is, okay, so there's somebody with a bear backpack, and it's a black woman with let's just say she has been blessed in the backside.
Some thrills.
Yeah. This is.
I really think the bear is a sexual thing. Because, you know, those furries that.
Maybe it's a shout out. Remember, that used to be like Kanye's motif for his first few records?
Yeah.
Maybe she's trying to holler at Kanye on the down low. Stealing from Kim Kardashian. Yeah, this is very.
It gets worse.
Wow. Rihanna is no selling this performance.
It's so funny when you see in the VMAs, they cut to the celebrities and they're too cool to react to anything.
Yeah.
I really don't think they should have a celebrity cam because it takes away from the show where you see these crazy moments and then they cut to the celebrities like almost as if to tell you at home, hey, calm down. These people are too cool to cheer. You should be too. Calm down and grow up.
Yeah, again. We are watching the Miley Cyrus VMA 2013 full performance from the other night. And we're at the 3-minute mark. And
okay.
It's Robin Thicke coming out looking like Canadian Beetlejuice. Haven't seen it, Robin Thicke is wearing like the Beetlejuice suit. Seriously, pants and everything.
He's significantly older than him.
What are you doing, Miley?
Oh, she's backing it up, isn't she?
No, she's fondling Robin Thicke with the finger.
Oh.
She's wearing like this foam number one finger.
It's not the worst thing she does with it.
I didn't know Robin Thicke was married to Paula Patton. I just discovered that the other day.
Very lovely Paula Patton.
Good job, Robin Thicke.
Son of Alan Thicke from Family Ties, I believe. Yeah.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains.
Mike Seaver in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 36. What is she, 20?
He's 36?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, what are you doing, Miley Cyrus? I don't know if this would be better or worse if she actually had some meat on her bones.
I think it would be better, but.
How
we have the proclivity towards.
Okay, now we got. Who is this coming out? Is this 2 Chainz?
Yeah, now they go into the rap portion, which is Robin Thicke. And at this point, they put Miley Ray Cyrus to the side. She's probably doing a lot more worse things with the finger, but because, like, you know, you catch a glimpse of her for a second, and they immediately take the camera off of her.
So we got 2 Chainz. Who also comes out kind of looking like a referee with the black and white ensemble. And yeah, like you said, yeah, they really have de-emphasized Miley Cyrus at this point.
Yeah, Lord knows how many climaxes she's had at this point in the corner over there.
Did she come back at the end?
I don't remember. Oh, I think she came back for like the final pose down, I believe.
Oh, yeah, so we'll keep watching. It's only a minute left.
This is amazing.
This is just ridiculous.
This is trolling at its best. Designed outrage.
I'm no psychiatrist, but I think Miley Cyrus this has got something to do with Billy Ray. She's intentionally embracing the Negro culture. Oh no, then she's back. She's back. Oh no. Yeah. She's grinding with the finger.
Oh man, that finger.
But yeah, I think she's got some daddy issues, maybe.
Could be, you know, their background wouldn't suggest that he'd be very proud of her for what she's doing, but as long as those checks come in.
Oh no.
This is a party in the USA, girl. This is Hannah Montana up here.
Oh, Miley. Wow. That was ridiculous.
Do you need a cigarette?
The only thing that would have made that better is if she was wearing some Gloria Vanderbilt jeans.
Wouldn't that make anything better? Doesn't that just go without saying?
Wow, that was ridiculous. So that's, I mean, that's ridiculous, but by the same token, is that any more ridiculous than performances we've seen in the past by Britney or Lady Gaga? Or, you know, I don't get the, like, it was ridiculous, and it's something that I really don't care to see ever again, but I don't get the big firestorm that is ignited on social media.
Yeah, well, just gauging by your reaction, I was going to ask you what your thoughts of it was immediately after, because of you're watching it now knowing how much outrage it's caused. So you've got kind of a temper type.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when somebody's like, oh, this is the best movie ever.
Right.
This is the greatest movie ever. And then you show up and you're like, wait a minute, this is Major League 3, back to the minors.
That was Avatar for me.
But yeah, there was so much outrage, and there's actually all these pro and con articles being written by like reputable bloggers, and somebody was trying to put Miley Cyrus and her love of twerking in the context of people trying to put down black women's sexuality, and somebody else was using it talking about how this shows the promiscuous culture and how the culture has lost its morals, and I'm like, all of this off of a 6-minute performance?
Yeah, and that's what it was designed to do. Miley Ray Cyrus loves anything that says Miley Ray Cyrus this morning when you woke up and read about it is money in the bank for the Miley Ray Cyrus brand.
Like it is hard to upstage Lady Gaga, but I don't hear anybody talking about her performance last night.
Nope, I didn't even know she performed until recently.
Like that takes skill to be. To garner that much attention. But yeah, like I said, it was disturbing to some extent. It was surreal. I still don't get the teddy bears and why Robin Thicke showed up dressed like Beetlejuice and why 2 Chainz showed up looking like a referee.
It's trolling, I'm telling you. They want as many random things out there for the social media conscience so they can put it on their Twitters and relate it back to Miley Ray Cyrus.
And then who was the last rapper that came out?
That was Kendrick Lamar, and he was dressed like a hockey player. So that would explain the referee theme. Maybe
I was gonna say, because I didn't even recognize Kendrick.
Yeah, no, he was just kind of chilling there. Yeah. He's relatively low key. He doesn't really look like a star. He's just
and then
really
Rihanna no selling that probably was. That was the other thing. People kept posting like this picture of Will Smith and his family, supposedly reacting to Miley Cyrus. And the looks of disgust and outrage on their face. And then, you know, just seeing Rihanna with the, just kind of, who was that chick from the Olympics? The gymnast, Michaela.
Oh, yeah, with the stink face.
Yeah, Michaela is not impressed. That's how Rihanna looked. She's like, she couldn't have been any less entertained by Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke and the 2 black guys they brought along. Yeah, that was random, so. Other than that, did you watch the whole show?
I did not. I just saw, you know, once it was over, I saw bits and pieces. That's how you know I'm getting older, is when I don't know when the VMAs were on. I didn't even know they were on. This is how I found out, is that, oh, man, Miley Cyrus did something crazy. And so I went and watched some. I did watch the NSYNC reunion, full disclosure. I've got to say it. I didn't like NSYNC, but it's history, and they were one of the biggest bands of all time. So, you know,
so was it a real reunion, or was it like that that Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 on the Motown special with
the VH1 special.
No, I'm talking about, you remember the original, like Motown 25, when Mike first broke out the moonwalk, and at first it was like supposed to be this big thing about the Jacksons coming back.
Oh, okay.
And then it just kind of evolved into Michael having his own solo set. We did Billie Jean, he did the moonwalk. Like, was that how it was last, like, did JT kind of break off and do his own thing, or was it a real reunion where they were all 5 of them was still up there?
No, yeah, all 5 of them were up there, and he did a good job of kind of blending in with the guys as if he was part of NSYNC again. He didn't go off and veer off. One thing I did notice is Chris Kirkpatrick. I don't know if you remember that one. He's the one with the goatee, and he was kind of back out in the corner, and he got big, man. The whole time I was just watching Chris Kirkpatrick just trying to keep up with those dance moves. Like, come on, man. I can't move like I used to. And, you know, they would kind of lean. Yep. He wouldn't be able to do it.
See, them boy bands was a little bit after my time, so I'm trying to remember. Was Nick Lachey with NSYNC?
That's 98 Degrees.
Okay. So Nick Lachey is with 98 Degrees. Justin Timberlake is with NSYNC, and the one dude that had an alcohol issue was with the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, AJ is with the Backstreet Boys. And again, I don't listen to these bands.
I was saying, somebody don't listen. You came with them names real quick, brother.
I'm a music head, and they were one of the biggest things in music at one point.
You came with those names real quick. You're like, man, I was really impressed by Joey Fatone last night. Oh, hold on. Is NSYNC, are they the ones with Lance Bass?
They are the ones with Lance Bass.
How did Lance Bass do?
He was doing his thing. He was there. You could never really notice. It's like he was a roadie. Him and Chris Kirkpatrick were like roadies that just traveled with them in lip sync when they were singing. You never really told when, I don't know, maybe I just don't have the ear for it, but I could always hear like Justin Timberlake and the higher pitch falsetto stuff.
Do you think this is a one night only thing, or do you think maybe they put out a record together?
No. I think it's definitely, it felt like a one night only thing. It just felt, it kind of seemed like Justin Timberlake didn't want to be there, to be honest.
I was going to say, Justin basically did him a favor.
Exactly. It was just, they did the whole, you know, it wasn't as much energy into it, maybe because they're older now, but it definitely felt like a one night thing.
He got that song out of Mirrors. He going to have a new one coming out tomorrow. NSYNC's in my rearview mirror. They're looking back at me. poor Chris Capet. At least, like, they gave him some money so they could pay the rent for another year.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you pay for.
He'll spend all that on McDonald's, man. I'm telling you, he got big.
But, yeah, so I guess that's it. So I guess the moral of the story is it doesn't matter what people say about you as long as you get them talking. Maybe we'll have to do something controversial.
Again?
I was going to say that actually some of our highest rated shows have been, we had the Court Bauer that turned into a controversy, and Hollywood Simpson last week is already doing some great numbers. So, yeah, maybe that'll be our thing. Like, we'll start getting controversial people on.
Yeah, we got to start making people pay attention to the controversy of the Kings of Sport as opposed to the content.
Yes. We'll be like a reverse MLK. We're not worried about the content of our character, but the controversy of our program.
Yeah.
So yeah, we trying to think who's like the most controversial athlete right now.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, let's get Johnny Football on, the second team all SEC quarterback. We'll pay him in beer since we can't officially pay him in money because that'd be an NCAA violation. Yeah, we like, Johnny, we got a case of Natty Ice in it for you. I'm there, man. I don't even know if that's how Johnny Manziel talks. But
hey, it's from Texas. It's
I'm there, Texas. I'm there, man. Good, buddy. Oh, but yeah, we're going to end this show because it's been an interesting episode. Like, it's very, you could tell when Mark is in here because we definitely get a little bit sillier.
And it's the first time that crack cocaine has made its way onto the show, so.
No, it's not. You forget Otis Nixon, man?
Was that crack cocaine?
Yes, because Otis, remember, he had the cocaine in the car. On the residue was on the seat.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So
it's not problematic.
It's a return engagement for crack cocaine.
So we have some tolerance for crack cocaine. That's good.
But remember, kids, crack is whack, so. Remember what LT said, don't do it. Maybe that'll be a future topic.
Either remember what he said or look at what happened. Yeah. Whatever senses engages you best.
That'll be a future topic. Your favorite substance addicted athlete. Yeah. Before we get out of here, definitely want to shout out our brothers at theplacetobenation.com. We are a part of the Place to Be Nation family. Check them out for the latest information. Place to Be Nation is your one-stop spot for pop culture, sports, entertainment, gaming, all that good stuff. Big up the Place to Be Nation. And, of course, audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Again, that's audibletrial.com/thekingsofsport. Get your free 30-day trial, your free audiobook, and, you know, that's how we're going to leave it this week. But next week we will have the results of the Kings of Sport draft, so you definitely want to be in the house for that show. You know, I'm sure we'll have some great stories to tell. We're going to have a live draft this weekend, and I was thinking about recording it, but then again, it might not be a PG show. with some of the picks that are going down. Alfred's gonna, I already know Alfred's gonna blow his first round pick on Jeff Toole.
I was gonna go with Aaron Hernandez for real. I gotta make it fair for you guys.
You can go with Tim Tebow, he'll be cut here soon. Before this show goes any further off the rails, Big Nasty, let the people know how they can get in contact with you.
At This Is Nasty and Go On Bleach Report, read me and watch me because you know you love me.
And shout out to Marcus Vandenberg. Follow Marcus on Twitter and I believe on Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill. You can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us on Twitter at Cospod, KOS_POD, Facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport, iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe, rate, and review. Share us with your friends. Share us with your enemies. Share us with Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Do that. It's a party in the USA. We can't stop. We're not about that life.
I don't know if she's... Well, she kind of seems like the type who'd share.
Yeah. I'd say it's... Yeah, there's not even a way to really properly end this show off of that, off of Miley Cyrus. She has thrown the whole show completely out of whack.
We could just say that we can't stop and we won't stop.
If anybody... I know some people out there like, man, this is the weirdest show ever. And all I will say to that is, you know, we try
Marcus
to walk
back next week.
Yeah. Marcus comes back next week. So we get the, he's the tether to sanity. You know, he's the, what is it? There's the id, the super ego and the, ego and whichever one of those is the sensible part. That's Marcus. And me and Alfred are kind of, when we're left to our own devices, it's like the inmates running the asylum. You know, we try to walk the line between great informative sports talk and pop culture entertainment, but, you know, dealing with Miley and Robin Thicke, man, it's some blurred lines, brother, some blurred lines. Boom.
I like that comment.
There we go. That's how you bring it back in the show.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I knew if we kept talking, we find out somewhere. So, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been twerking with the Kings. All right.
Very nice.
Oh, this is gonna be a crazy episode.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Attack like I just left.